One. What up on a late night? Cool, man. What's good with you, brother? How you doing?
Happy 40th birthday,
I
Michael.
appreciate that, man. It's been a action-packed birthday still going. We're gonna toast it up with the people in the room when they get here. You got
Mike, next time I see you, Mike.
There it is. There it
But I have
is.
some vintage Rocky Patels right here. And we're gonna break bread and have a little Hennessy Paradis, most likely, and
Yes,
smoke one.
sir. Waiting on people to get into the room. I don't think people got the notification yet. I'm sitting here looking at the notifications on this end. Okay, I see one person getting in there.
On my phone. Look, my phone back here.
Yeah,
Did
we
I get
got one person getting in here.
I didn't get the notification.
You ain't
Yeah.
get the notification? I don't think they got it yet either, man. And we'll
Yeah.
start talking about this album as soon as we get that in there. I want to see what the okay. All right, we got people in there. Shout out to Jordan House. Said what's good, fellas. I think people are getting the notifications now. We are live. We are live. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. We're gonna talk about this Kendrick real quick.
There we
You got it? Okay. I know we ain't got all night. And yes, people are in the room. Everybody's saying happy birthday. Appreciate that, man. We're toasting it up here. We celebrating. We got a new Kendrick album. You know what? I think I made a bet with somebody that we wouldn't get a Kendrick album. Maybe I didn't make that bet, but we got it. It's here.
Yeah, you definitely
Salute to
said.
everybody in the room. Appreciate y'all staying up with us and, jumping in on this late night real quick. And, like I said, we ain't gonna be all night, but I know people need us to talk about this Kendrick Lamar album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I was wrong on a lot of fronts. And you know what? My first reaction to the album, to keep it 100 with everybody, Kendrick Lamar is lyricist of the year. Right now, he is in the running for lyricist of the year. I know this is a very, very tough album to rate. I was talking to my guy Ron Vey, my way back, home on the road trip or whatnot. Appreciate the happy birthday shout outs to everybody from everybody in there. Like I said, we're gonna toast it up. I'm gonna take a shot with y'all. But I was talking to Ron Vey, man, and Ron Vey was like, yo, this is a tough album to rate
It is.
because
It
the high
sure
points are super high. And the other
is.
points that aren't as quote unquote high, are actually experimental. And you know how I feel about experimental projects. I love Electric Circus. I actually appreciate, I love Donda, actually. You know what I'm saying? So some of these things that I heard on this album, shout out Nas the GOAT with the super chat. And man there with the super chat, he says a 4.8. Oh, we can get into that. He said a 4.8, instant classic in my opinion, worth the wait. Nas the GOAT says happy birthday to Mike, praying for many, many more king. I appreciate that, y'all. Speaking of that rating system, and I know I was about to go into something, I do want to put the data up there. We posted earlier on According to Hip Hop what you guys rated, and we got 24% at that point, 5 out of 5. 20% said 4.5 out of 5. 28% said 4. 16% said 3.5. And 12% said 3. Now, I'm going to be honest. Off my first initial listen, I said 4. Then I initially thought about, huh, it's almost dry. And I was like, I have to rate this album higher than It's Almost Dry. One of my biggest things with It's Almost Dry was the lack of content. This might be the most content that we've gotten from a major hip hop release in a very long time. One thing that I took away from my conversation with Ron Vey that I was going to get to, he talked about Jay-Z's smile on 444 and how Auntie's Diaries is next level of how you cover something like that.
You ready for me?
I'm ready for your thoughts, man. What were your thoughts from the album? I could go on and on.
I have so many thoughts that it's ridiculous. It literally got to the point that I had so much time that it's like, I was like, you want to know what, Coop? You got to stop writing. So I did. to what you said, after first listen, I was like, this is a four and the weakest project that he's released thus far. And then I listened again, and And then it's funny, Mike, that you were bringing up Till It's Almost Dry, because I thought about the Pusha T album as well after the second listen. And I was like, well, I can't rate this lower than Till It's Almost Dry. And I just put that at a 4.25. Mm-hmm. And what I would tell you is that my early thoughts on this album is giving it a similar rating, but for totally different reasons. And I feel conflicted about it the way I feel conflicted about Till It's Almost Dry, even in more detail, but for more reasons. But this feels like a better piece of work. But it's just like the missteps on here. And this is just, and here's the problem with this album. The biggest problem with this album is there's just going to be people who aren't going to want to dig into this album to appreciate the brilliance about it.
Yeah.
And thereby, that's part of what like is affecting some of the rating of it, because I already hear some of the riffs. Some people are like, yo, this is trash. And it's like, well, no, it's not.
Mm-mm.
But if you have a certain hip hop aesthetic, you know what I mean? This is not your thing. And this isn't for everybody. And that's one of the first things. This is the first project that he actually made that wasn't for everybody.
It has no bangers on it. And, you know, I have notoriously said on this show that if he had some heat, he would have dropped it right after the Super Bowl. If this is what he was hanging on to, I understand why he didn't drop it after the Super Bowl, because he has no singles to lead with, or what traditional mainstream singles would look or sound like. I think the closest to that might be, what's the name of that song? It's number two. But it sounds so off-kilter and...
N95?
Yeah.
The drill track.
I like that shit. But it's just structurally all over the place. And okay. I don't think that Interscope's leading with that.
No. Asiah liked that too when I was playing it in the whip with her. She was
so like, I said, appreciate the happy birthday shout out too. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, no. She was like, that's snapping. I was like, isn't it a drill beat? She was like, it is a drill beat. I said, so, and this was my question. And she kind of looked back at me like, nigga, I don't know. You don't want to supposed to be explaining this to me. I was like, is this a parody on a drill beat or an interpretation? And I'm asking that for a reason, because of how I'm about to contextualize some of this album. And like Ron was saying, what makes it so hard to read?
Go for it.
So my notes, so we can start kind of like with N95 and kind of work around.
Okay.
The first thing I noticed, I was like, well, he's snapping on me.
Yeah.
He's snapping. Like, yeah. So it's like he hadn't lost nothing. I'm like you. I said, the first couple songs are all over the place. They're all over the place. I'm like, this one in United in Grief, my notes, when I got, I was like, these first two songs is all over the place. Now, listen to what mm-hmm. I'm about to say. I said, the end riff on this song is super, super strong. Like the end of it, like almost like he's trying to prove a point towards the end to keep your attention. And that's when it hit me. And it wasn't really until we got further down, but it was feeling to me more like a hip hop play than a hip hop album.
I was just about to say that. And it's funny, I was talking to Rambe again. Rambe's a playwright. He's actually put together a hip hop play. I saw it. It was dope. And him and I had a conversation, I want to say maybe like a year and a half ago, and we were contextualizing to Pimp a Butterfly. And he was like, it reads like theater. Like it just is from beginning to end. And then from then on, I listened to it with a different ear. And listening to this album, it is that and some.
No, I
Damn
was about
can
to say,
be contextualized in that way too, but not like this in To Pimp a Butterfly. Especially, what's the name of the record? And I think it's my favorite record on the album, actually. And I've been riding around listening to the album, just hadn't really been looking at the songs. We Cry Together. Yeah. That's definitely a stage play. And it's Absolutely. Brilliant.
So... to that point that you're making, today I appreciated To Pimp a Butterfly a little bit more for a few things. So listen to what I'm about to say. For how hip-hop oriented it truly was for an artist like this. For how cohesive and concise that it was. Because this is actually really 16 songs and two interludes and shorter in length than To Pimp a Butterfly. But it's all over the place. It's not as cohesive or concise. And so today, I can truly appreciate the brilliance of To Pimp a Butterfly as a hip-hop album even more, even though it has theatrical components to it.
I think his ability, not to cut you off, not even just on To Pimp a Butterfly, but his other efforts, his ability to actually make easily digestible records. I think that these songs are brilliant, but you have to listen to them with a certain artistic lens. And I think that's the other thing that's like, it in many ways, it can become a cop-out. One of the notes that I had was the fact that artists who make these type of records or conceptual records, they don't talk about, you know, smoking on your top five and being the best MC, yada, yada, yada. That's what makes him a little different, which is interesting. Because so, the best MC tries to make more digestible records. You know what I mean?
I kind of get what you mean, but he's in a special place.
Yeah.
Where he gets to move with the rare artistic freedom that very few MCs ever have. Like, because he's got full reign of it.
He's got a green light like a motherfucker.
Yeah, he's really green lighted, like really, really hard. The greatness of him MCing comes out in his ability to express his art in a lyrical fashion without losing you. But some of this stuff loses you. But here's what I will say. As far as this is from song to song, it's beautiful and I want to hear it live. And my fear for the album is that you have to be a certain type of this isn't necessarily for a hip hop lover. You know, like this is for a lover of the arts, the lover of entertainment. I think you and I are both those. I think hip hop is what we prefer. But I think you and me are both like into jazz, into plays, into. So I think we're seeing the play in the opera in it. And there are other cats with our ear for music. Because I don't know about you. When I'm hearing these songs, Mike, I'm like literally seeing them on stage being performed visually. Like I see stuff a certain way. Like I hear beats in colors when I visualize them. But when I'm hearing what he's saying, I don't hear the words. I see the visualization of it being acted out live and being more impactful in that realm than it is musically. That's part of why it's so hard to rate music.
I think that the Pulitzer Prize possibly has changed him and his perspective on, I guess, validation from, you know, certain outlets, because it's not even about a Grammy anymore. It's about, you know, getting that different level of artistic validation from maybe not just an award institution, but just from those groups of people, like you said. Nas the Goat with the Super Chat says, N95, Worldwide Steppers, Die Hard, Father Time, incredible record. We Cry Together, Purple Hearts, Auntie's Diaries, Mr. Morale, Mother I Sober, and Mirrors are my favorite. What are some of y'all favorite songs on the album? I want to ask the people that too. And I want to ask you that, Coop. I know you got a lot of notes, but what do you think were some of the highlights and what did you get from those highlights?
I'm going to tell you the records that I gave a 5 to when I heard them, you know, a couple times. I put Rich Spirit down. Rich Spirit, my notes for Rich Spirit are, the beauty of the contradiction of MCs can be found on this record and on this hook, and he knows it. Mm-hmm. You know, bitch, I'm attractive. I can't fuck with you. I'm fast. There's some religious things that are being expressed on this album that I want to address, but right now we just kind of going to annotate that and kind of move forward.
I think this is an album that we can probably cover on our Wednesday show too. I think this is one of those that I think we could break down even further on our Wednesday show as well. Because this is more of a first listen. It's really dense and it's a lot to contextualize over just, you know, us listening to it for a few hours. So I think that, yeah, we can get into all those aspects on the next episode probably.
Yeah. I felt like Purple Hearts wasn't what it was supposed to be, but Ghostface delivered.
He did.
Like, that song is still good, but it's supposed to be great and, like, all-time great, and it's not.
I think it's another situation where he puts his music together like a playwright. I feel like, I feel like Ghost and Summer Walker came in and played their part in his scene for that.
I thought Crown was, like, a beautiful expression of where he is, because what I really realized from this is that this album is kind of therapeutic and cathartic for him too.
Exactly. I was going to say that too.
Like, he needed to release this because I realized something. It's just like, Well, whether he wants to admit it or not, what he is really saying is that the weight of all of this is really too heavy for me, and I want to be myself.
Yeah, he's going through some shit.
And this is, and listen, this is what Nas is talking about on KD2. What's the first song on KD2? The pressure weigh a ton. It's getting too heavy.
Yeah.
And then fire them again like I didn't already. Like, he's expressing how hard it is when people look at you a certain way and the gravity of the pressure. Well, Kendrick is expressing, like, the actual stress and the actual weight of that pressure on this album. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear that. And he doesn't do the best job at times for me on, like, with the rhetoric, Mike, in regards to that. That's why when you said, is he lyricist of the year? It's like, well, I don't know, because it's like, well, the weight is too heavy because you're really, really great. And I've never really heard anybody this great talk about the weight being too much except for Andre. And that ain't good or kind when I'm saying
that. Well, it's funny when you say that, because I feel like he is the solo MC that we all, I guess, correct, hoped that Andre would have possibly become.
Deontay
Smith, yeah, Deontay Smith says Kendrick should drop visuals for this album. I think he will. And I think that, you know, it's set, that the stage is set for that. I was talking to my guy Brandon the other day. I think that when it comes to the budget for Kendrick, the budget's wide open. I mean, Interscope and the people at Aftermath, he's the primary, you know, he's the primary concern. They got everything that they need and resources to put into him having visuals for this whole album if they wanted to.
I can already see, like, you remember those, like, old, like, yellow paper sheets for the plays,
mm-hmm,
that had, like, the names on it, like, in big black bold letters? I can already see, like, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, like, live, like, you know, Broadway play, like, looking. But if we could keep with the Andre theme momentarily, mm-hmm, I wanted to tell you that when you said that there wasn't any bangers on here, I think there is a low-key banger on here, and I'm actually going to reference an Outkast track and kind of stick with the ATL, like, an Andre theme. I thought Silent Hill was obviously the single on here that needed to be a single, and I'm going to tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of Wheels of Steel off ATL-ies.
I could see that.
It has that funky, like, it's almost like it should be a single because it's so funky and it's catchy. You remember when Andre is doing the little ad-lib part at the one time for my boys doing King shit?
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole head up, chest out. When he's doing that,
yeah,
it's the same thing. I'm stressed out. Be quiet.
But you know what? He's doing it on his own terms. And I guess maybe I said that incorrectly, that there's no bangers. There's no bangers in the sense of, like, what he did with Swimming Pools or Humble or All Right, stuff that fits in the lexicon of what's going on with his mainstream peers. He took it outside the box, and I got to give him credit for that. Ed was like, Mother I Sober is one of his most brilliant tracks. Sing About Me level at its heaviness. Yeah. He has some moments. You know, another thing that Ranve said in our conversation that I totally identify with, too. A lot of the records on there are like you meaning the song that's on To Pimp a Butterfly, where it's like, it's brilliant, but I'm probably not going to sit around and listen to it, you know?
And so that is why I kind of rated this album in the same realm that I rated Pusha T's album, like kind of like 4.25, even though I kind of feel like it's better because, well, I asked myself legitimately, no, I can see all the creative genius involved, and I can see the playwright in him. I can see the lyricist of the year contender in him. This is what I mean about stuff connecting, though. How much stuff of this connects for you to really call it classic? Because some of it is just the artistic merit at the highest level. And quite frankly, when it comes to artistic level, like MC-wise, there are very few MCs that maintain the level of lyricism that he ever has, that express themselves lyrically as clear and as diverse as he does. So he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Let's not get it twisted at all. But it also goes back to the fact it's like, well, would you rather hear this or would you rather hear Brambleton and Let the Smoker Shine the Coop? What are you going to play when you get in your car? Because it can be brilliant and genius, and he can be whatever it is that you're saying that he is, and you can get in your car and be more likely to play Brambleton or Let the Smoker Shine the Coop. And both of those things can kind of be okay, is I think what people need to accept. Because once again, The biggest problem with this album is that, well, a lot of the best stuff, the replay value isn't high, but the genius level is high.
It's interesting, man. No, I agree 100%. That was the first thing that I took away from it, listening to it. And I hate to listen to it as a critic, but, you know, we got to get on this show and talk about it. My thing was, man, this stuff is brilliant. I personally love it, but the replay value overall might not be the best, but I don't want to punish him for that. Because again, We Cry Together, I feel like it's a brilliant record, but so, I'm probably never going to go play it. It's very Kim-like in that way, and I mean Eminem Kim. And I saw a lot of Eminem in some of these records, too, to be perfectly honest. Andre Shashir with the Super Chat says, hold on real quick, I'm going to get to that. He said, I liked it, about a 4.5 per Wikipedia, its highest rated rap album ever as of now. All perfect scores except for 4 out of 5. Let me get to a couple of more super chats and I'm gonna get back to your statement. Antonio says, I heard someone break down it like this. Section 80 was a book, Good Kid, Mad City was a short film, To Pimp a Butterfly was a poem, Damn was radio playlist, and this album was a play.
Sounds definitely a play.
It's like he's been listening to us, or he's been doing this. Vince Hughes says, so do y'all believe that the book he was holding is some sort of play or script of some sort? I do believe it is.
Yes.
I do believe it is. J-Dub says, it's funny that he kicked this all off with the I Want You sample from The Heart Part 5, when I think this album is more like Kendrick's Here, My Dear. Interesting. Interesting.
Here, My Dear. Okay, so we got a Marvin Gaye fan in there that knows.
That's an interesting connection, because right before I got on the live, I was like, The Heart Part 5 sounds nothing like any of the stuff that's on here.
It doesn't.
So, I mean, that connection would make sense.
Here, My Dear is more brilliant. I mean, and there's brilliant stuff on Here, My Dear, but it's really more brilliant for its backstory than its actual music. And so, if he's comparing Here, My Dear to Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers in that regard, that's not necessarily the most glowing review. You know, if he's talking about it being Kendrick's most personal work in regards, in terms of like Here, My Dear, because I don't think a lot of people know Marvin Gaye was married to Anna Gordy, Barry Gordy's daughter, sister,
mm-hmm. Yep. Daughter.
And they went through a very public and messy divorce. And as part of the divorce settlement, he agreed that the proceeds for his next album would go towards his alimony for her. And this is probably at the time where he's like literally arguably one of the two or three biggest stars in the world, wouldn't you say? At the time.
In music, yeah.
Yeah, and so he proceeds to make like an extremely like stunning and visceral album where he pretty much airs all their personal and like dirty laundry out in the street on record. And the album doesn't do as well because it has no hits. It just has like all their personal shit aired out, and that's what she had to take financially. So if you're talking about being personal the way Here, My Dear is, I can see that. But what I would tell you is that the personal nature of it in terms of the expression of the stress and all of those things, I feel like sometimes it hurts some of these records. Like Savior is a really dope track where he's asking really fair questions. But I ask myself, how many times am I going to listen to Kendrick say, bitch, are you happy for me? Like,
you did call that, man. He does, okay, he does say bitch a lot.
No, I don't even need an apology because like, I could feel it coming on. I know a little bit.
He says bitch a lot.
So all I'm saying is that now in relationship to people like Rakim and Chuck D, who we have looked at in the same regard in terms of integrity and morality, do you hear how the rhetoric is distinctly different from him? And he literally lets you know on the last song, I Choose Me, I'm Sorry.
Well, I think that was about the 5-year break.
No, I don't. I think that was about everything, though.
You know, I just want to be me, and
like, don't deify me so much because I like to, you know, I like to do my thing. I'm not perfect, and there's nothing wrong with that either.
Was there a lot of, I mean, you know, I said I see some Eminem in this album.
I see a lot in this album. I see a lot of Andre Outkast in here.
I see some Kanye in this.
Yeah, I see Kanye. I see some, I see some of those middling Nas years in here. I see some of those Yeezus Kanye years in here. Yeah, I see all of those things. I see some Eminem.
I think the overall theme is he's conflicted.
That is the thing.
A very conflicted individual. I mean, I think he was talking about therapy and just, I think, again, the crown being so heavy.
Yeah.
KD says, so I guess it's safe to say the Ransom as the best album of the year. Nas is coming. To Mike's, We Cry Together was incredible when RZA and Busta did Game did it. Excuse me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought Domestic Violence is kind of what I thought of too. You remember Domestic Violence on Body Digital?
Yeah.
So it's not totally original as people think, because we can pull from Kim and Domestic Violence and Kendrick's head and be like, no, nah, like, but he does his interpretation of it very well, because the Taylor Page chick, that's a great introduction, like, for somebody I haven't heard before, because
I hear she's an actress. I don't even think she's a rapper.
Right, because she sounds emotionally drained, tearing up, and it's great expression in terms of how she's like wailing and still like vocally giving that to you emotionally on the mic. And that's why I was like, who is that? Like, it's pulling that off.
I went and looked her up too when I heard it.
What I would tell you is also too that Best I Can by Busta Rhymes and Rhapsody does the same thing, and it's just a better record.
It's a better, I feel what you're saying. To clarify, no, it's a better record. Song. No,
it's just a better
It's record. A better song.
No, I mean,
this is our same debate that we have, like when we talk about I Got a Story to Tell and Rewind. Like, I think I Got a Story to Tell is just a better song, better record. You know what I mean?
But the Rhymes performance. And Rhapsody, no, Busta Rhymes and Rhapsody are expressing some of the tenuous black love situations that happen. Like in reality and the why behind it. This is some of this is like, well, bitch, I'm gonna take your keys. Now you mad at me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's extremes, but it's real for some people.
No, I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not. You want to know, the Busta Rhymes and Rhapsody thing isn't better by far, but it does the same thing, is what I'm saying. If you really actually listen to the record, it does the same thing in terms of the expression of the theme. And so that's
hold
why.
Hold on 1 second, Coop. Go ahead and keep talking. Go ahead, keep talking.
No, you're fine. Go that's ahead. Why something like this on We Cry Together, it feels more like a play. This is where you know that it's a play, because the expression of it really isn't rooted in hip hop. It's rooted in the expression of like a playwright. And the Busta Rhymes and Rhapsody joint is more rooted in the hip hop sentiment. I think Mike B faded on us for a second. It's his birthday. I think one of the things that I really noticed starting off is that he has a thing for wanting P-Funk and like jazz influence beats. So I hear like the Low End Theory influence on this album, the Outkast influence on this album. And I think it has a lot of To Pimp a Butterfly vibes, because I think that's really the core of who he desires and who he aspires to be as an MC. I'm gonna jump in the chat for a second. I said I wasn't going to, but since Mike had to step away for a minute and handle birthday business, I'm gonna address what some of the people are saying in the chat. Okay, 10 dope tracks, 2 interludes, 4 tracks could have been left off, AK and Curtis, no Philly. King, you dropped the bomb on your head. It's a good album. I'm not gonna deny it and say that it's not a good album. I don't necessarily think that it's per se album of the year just yet. Eminem did not save hip hop, whoever is saying that. But I do think, no, hey, you want to know what Nas the GOAT? The reality of We Cry Together is real. There are a lot of toxic relationships like that. I've been in a toxic relationship like that before. So you're speaking facts when you're speaking to like the toxicity that's being expressed. But that's part of the reason why it feels more like a play. It seems like the point is to express the emotionality of these songs than to give you a great hip-hop record, and that's okay. We're just changing. Okay, we got Ryan Gillum with Super Chat saying the second half of the album is better than the first half. I totally agree. I will go to my notes right now, but I will tell you that one of the things that really raised this album up for me was the rating of the second half of the album, because the second half of the album for me is far superior than the first half. And if it was just the first half, this album would be getting somewhere between a 3.25 to a 3.5, I think, because it's really inconsistent. But the second half of the album is pretty masterful for the most parts. And we're starting to see that Kendrick is the type of artist that knows how to steamroll at the end of the album and finish album strong. And this album is no different in that regard. The finish was the best part.
I think he could have, I mean, I understand why it's two sides.
I wish he could have condensed. Trash, it's just not for everybody. People need to, okay, because what happens when people, no, because I'm going to say this as somebody that's been a harsh critic. When an album comes out like this that has the content and the subject matter that it does, okay, at such a high level, the writing is being expressed at such a high level. Even if you don't love what he's doing MC-wise, the writing is at such a high level that we need to hold it in a certain regard if we're going to hold certain rhetoric that we do hold in certain regard, myself in particular, the same way. It's like, I love me some Mobb Deep and Griselda. I can't say that that shit is like 4 and 4.25 and 4.5 in an album content-wise like this come out, and I not give it the same energy and the same look, even though there are missteps, and even though he may not hit the bar album-wise for what we're used to from him and nobody else.
I think that's the big deal. I think the fact that his biggest thing is he's been so consistent. It's kind of like when I heard Stankonia for the first time. I remember OutKast being the group that I didn't have to skip any song. First time I ever skipped songs was on Stankonia.
Yep, that's the first time we had to skip. And everybody knows it. We all talk about it.
Yeah, and so I think this is what's happened, you know, when it comes to Kendrick. It's like, this is the first time you've ever had to really skip around. But when he's done great work on this album, he's covering things that other hip-hop artists, especially on the mainstream level, just don't cover. And we talk about content all the time.
You know what, Mike? It's your birthday. I'm going to handle the super chats. It's About Damn Time said, this album is well put together, and that's why I have K-Dot in my top 10, because he has so many avenues to travel on. You got to love that from an artist.
Well, you know what? I was going to get there, man. What does this do for him being top 10?
Okay, so that would be the problem with it, and we're going to get the KD super chat in a second. I don't think, because this album, okay, if you told me that this album is better than Section 80, and it's right there with Damn. I told you that he needed something better than Damn. And I don't know if this is succinctly better than Damn. I think it finds itself falling in the same realm on a good day, possibly, for the same reasons. But also, too, this is the type of record, because of the content involved, that really is going to need more time to ingest and digest to see if it creates that feeling. Because as part of the criticism that I've given is that, well, man, To Pimp a Butterfly really doesn't have replay value like that. And I can honestly tell you today, it's like, well, damn, if To Pimp a Butterfly don't have no replay value, like, give me some These Walls and some Mortal Man and How Much a Dollar Costs, like, right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go play those records 10 times probably before I'm going to play a lot of these records, even though some of these records are at that level.
A lot, again, artistically, a lot of it's where you from To Pimp a Butterfly was at, where it's like, okay, this is dope, but the replay value is really, really small when it comes to that. Yeah. But see, again, he did some things that he covered some ground that he hasn't covered. And to piggyback on what you said, I think that the other part of it, we need to see how this is going to age sonically. Because he sonically took some chances, that he normally doesn't take.
Yes. Yes. So we got another super chat. KD with the $5 super chat said, I'm going to be honest. The snippet of Game rapping on the Suicidal Thoughts flip by Hit Boy, Good, Bad, Ugly 2 for Drillmatic sounds better than this K-Dot album. Okay, so that's what I mean when I say this album's not for everybody. If that's what you like, you might hear this and be like, you want to know what, Kendrick, I love you, fam. I ain't got time. I'm out. And that's cool. I'm going to bring up an album that's nothing like this, but it kind of took some of the listeners that way. You remember There Is a Dark Side by Redman?
Mm-hmm.
That album wasn't for everybody. Like, the people who love Redman swear by that album. And this album is kind of going to play that way, I think. But I think in hindsight, people can look at There Is a Dark Side and be like, no, Redman's still the shit. Not his best stuff, but still high up on the food chain. And I think probably this is how that's going to get remembered. It's like, is it To Pimp a Butterfly or Good Kid, Mad City? I'm telling you right now, no, it's not. And it's not about to exceed that. But are you going to say that it could potentially be in an argument for like that third or fourth position, like with Damn and Section 80, like in his catalog, because of like how he put this together. Because much like Damn, the home runs on here are home runs. It's like, well, damn, well, I don't know if anybody else can do that right now, but Kendrick, he has that type of ability. That ability is expressed on this album. I don't know if it's expressed enough to carry this album to like To Pimp a Butterfly or Good Kid, Mad City
statue. I'm conflicted, man. I definitely got it over Section 80 just because of how good he's gotten, right? And how intricate he's gotten with his songwriting and how developed his songwriting skills have become overall. My conflict is between this and Damn, honestly. And I think Damn is one of those albums that's just so on the surface, even though it has its moments where he digs, you know, gets real intricate with it. But this one, man, I feel like he dug deeper lyrically than he's ever dug. Is that fair to say?
You said lyrically better than he's ever done?
I think he's dug deeper on this album than he's ever dug.
So
we got to give credit for that. I mean, I think that for that reason, and you say that about Illmatic with timeless themes, I think this album's going to age very well because of those things.
Okay, so that's what I mean about this is going to take some time to ingest. The themes aren't as timeless as Illmatic. But some of the problems are, some of the very problematic things that he are talking about aren't timeless. And so some of this stuff is going to stick in the lexicon of great MCing and great writing. We got a super chat we need to get to right quick. Sean Williams says this album is great overall artistically and musically, but it's just not for everybody. But it executes substance wise. I give it an 8 out of 10 overall. So it would probably be a 4 out of 5, obviously. So yeah, I mean, I have similar sentiments. Ryan Gillen with a $4.99 super chat. There were a few songs I thought were produced by Kanye because there are some Life of Pablo and Yeezus type sounds on here. I think that's more inspiration.
Yeah. What did you think about the Kanye line? Kanye and Drake line?
I love the fact that he admitted to his pettiness. That's what I mean about this album being personal. Because you want to know what he's great on doing? He's been great at espousing on the black condition and not his own condition. He does both on this album, but that's part of where the focus is lost and it's not as concise. We got Blue Collar Hustle $1.99 on the Super Chat. Album is a direct call to action for black men. What do you say to that? Fascinating.
Call to action to do what? Get help? Possibly. I mean, I think there's a lot going on in there. And when it comes to, I guess maybe a call to action when it comes to black men's mental health, maybe that's where I can see it going. But I feel where he's coming from. But like you said, a lot of his reflections of himself are reflections on the whole community.
He tried to tie them both together.
Dumb It Down says, y'all missed my earlier super chat. Do you think this album is deeper than the Black Star album? I think the music can be deep and also have replay value. I think that the Black Star album kind of hit everything out the park. Once again, it was 9 songs. I think if this one would have been condensed a little bit more, then we would have got more of a concise effort on that end. You know my theory about why he even made this 2 sides or a quote-unquote double disc. I think these are to bump up the numbers, but artistically, I don't feel like he really wanted all of these songs on here. You know what I mean?
So
he's smarter than that in the way he puts together efforts. Because once again, when we talk about Stankonia being the first Outkast album we skipped records on, it was the longest by far. They had like 20 joints on there.
24.
Yeah.
24.
They never did that.
Never did that.
Yeah.
You usually get 13 to 15 actual songs.
Right.
Right. Maybe.
Yeah.
So to piggyback off that, and listen to what I'm about to say, I said this is another contractual fulfillment double album, unfortunately. And I think that, because I agree with you too, he couldn't have wanted all of this to land on here for how concise he's been at putting projects together and for how concise this isn't at times. I have a hard time believing that he wanted this put together totally like this. And if he did, it is to be in play form and we will be seeing it on stage across this nation soon, which is what he might be preparing for. Because outside of that, I can't see this going, because it plays very much like a hip hop soap opera. Like all these songs, he picks up steam on the third verse. Like, have you been to an opera before?
Mm-hmm.
Play?
Yeah.
You know how the emotion of things kick up in the third scene before the act is about to close to keep and hold the listener while you're waiting for the breaks and for the costume change. That's what he's doing on these records. He literally is turning it up and giving you his best and the most emotional parts about it towards the end to captivate you, to keep you there. That's play shit. That's not rap shit. I mean, that kind of is rap shit because it's like he's doing it lyrically on a level. It's like, well, damn, Kendrick. Like the way that what am I going to go to right quick? Because I have so many notes. I
You go to your notes. And for the people in the super chat, I mean, we want to get to your super chat. So I do want to get to, you know, the review overall. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead and get to your notes.
Like on Auntie's Diaries, when he ends with the whole church conflict.
Yeah.
Story and how that went, and then says, well, only if you let a white girl say nigger, I'm like, well, drop the mic on stage. That's the type of thing that if you were doing a play live and there are 20,000 people live in the audience, everybody is going to be literally in silence until you come back, and they're going to stand and clap when you get back.
No, you're right. Nas the Goat said that Father Time made him shed tears. And other people said that too.
And so I don't love the beat to Father Time, but how do you not love that message? That's what I mean. Is like, well, how can you not rate this album high?
Exactly.
With content like this, mm-hmm. I don't know if he is lyrically doing the ooh and ah. He's not doing the ooh and ah things that we are hearing Method Man and Ransom do, or even Cole do. But what he is doing is touching a nerve of Black culture. And his expression when he is touching that nerve properly is some of the best writing that you're going to find, period. Damn hip-hop. That's why I don't mind it being the play.
I think he's lyricist of the year.
This is some of the best writing that you'll find.
Exactly. And maybe that's where I'm coming from when I say he's lyricist of the year so far, because this is some of the best writing you'll find. I know we got like nearly 400 people in the room right now. Y'all probably didn't hear my comment from earlier, but... And no disrespect to Jay. Jay is one of the greatest writers and MCs ever. But when me and Rave were talking about Smile on 444, like this record that Kendrick did, the Auntie's Diaries, from a writer's level, that is leaps and bounds next level of that. This is like, you know, from what we're talking about from a writer's perspective. This is like what Nas did with Rewind. Can't even talk. I've been drinking a little bit, y'all. Shout out to KD with the $50 super chat. He said, content and subject matter wise, Kendrick delivered. Too early to give this album a dense score, in my opinion. I agree. He said, musically and production wise, this has less entertainment value than the Pimp a Butterfly. This is more of an art piece. Like, what is that? By Earl... versus traditional album. Yeah, this is the thing, man. It's like, I think also his voice is another thing that hurts some of the concepts on this album as well. I mean, would you agree? I think that his rap voice kind of hurts this.
That's why when I close my eyes, I see the play in it, because I don't know if he's even using... I'm not even how certain he is dedicated to his rap voice on this album.
Yeah.
And that's fine because of some of the execution. Can we talk about Auntie Diaries for a minute?
Go ahead.
So I realized a few things within this record. I immediately, production-wise, I thought about these walls. And I said to myself, okay, production-wise, we need to accept that this is what he likes. And if we're going to hear hip-hop from him, it's going to sound like this production-wise, most likely. Because this is the type of beat that I keep hearing him go back to style-wise, which is fine. Everybody had their things that they go to. I keep going to the Nas Hit-Boy pairing. It's like, well, Hit-Boy keep doing that boom-bap sample shit that Nas like. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is what Kendrick likes, and what you'll find is that when you give Kendrick the stuff that he likes, he writes stuff like this, like these walls and this. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so... The my auntie is a man now. My uncles don't like him that much. You know, that's real. The whole the faggot thing, the whole bumping quick, the my good cousin thing, the before Bruce Jenner parts. Like, this is a prime example of where his creativity and his themes and his writing skills, they actually supersede his lyricism, Mike. That's why it'd be hard. It's like, no, I hear what you're saying, but it's like, well, damn, it's so creative. The theme is so strong and so touching and so real. Because immediately I had a personal note. I thought about I thought about my mom's first hairstylist, Drew, who died of AIDS, who was gay. He's a gay man down here, was my mom's first hairstylist. Like, when he was explaining some of his emotions about not understanding, I can remember feeling the same way when I was around Drew, because Drew wasn't just my mother's hairstylist. He was a good friend to my mother. So I was at his house. I was at his mother's house. I was at his condo. Like, I was around him, and I knew that he was not like the other guys, and the other guys didn't like him, but I didn't totally understand, even though I understood. So even some of the conflicting emotions, if you've ever even experienced some of that, it connects. And this is what I'm talking about. When he connects, he connects like very few ever have. And this is it. My last note on here, I said, To Pimp a Butterfly, as in, like, put this song anywhere on To Pimp a Butterfly, and you can take another song out, I think, with the exception of How Much a Dollar Cost Are These Walls. That's how good this song is.
You know, it's funny you mentioned How Much a Dollar Cost. We were going through To Pimp a Butterfly the other day, and you talked about how highly, you know, how high you have How Much a Dollar Cost. Some of these high moments on this album are How Much a Dollar Cost level, lyrically.
This is right there.
Yeah.
This is right there. It's one of the best rap songs ever.
It sounds like, okay, he has the stage, spotlights on him. Yep. Let me talk real quick. Let me talk to you real quick. And it's not, man, it's not a lot of rappers that can do that in the way that he was able to do in that song. You know what I'm saying? And it's dope, man.
So hold on. I actually had a phraseology that I came up with to express what you just said about what he just did. I'm trying to find it in my notes because I have so many ridiculous parts amount of notes in here. It's different. That's what he did. Okay, so his personal reflection on here is his personal feelings on here are the connectivity of actually this play that he's put together. And the soliloquies are strung together in rap melody form. And that's expressed best on Auntie's Diaries. These are soliloquies expressed in rap expressional form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, man.
Brilliant. It has brilliant moments. The whole of it is not brilliant. A lot of that has to do, and Mike, you called this, I don't love it when you drop double albums. This is why, because I mean, damn, the only thing that's really keeping this from being a five is taking some stuff off.
Yeah. And yeah, the curse of double album strikes again, because unfortunately, there were some very, very brilliant moments. And it's like, as much as I like Damn, and I like Damn a lot, I think Damn probably has more replay value than The Pimp a Butterfly. But it's hard for me to say that at this level, it's kind of like the Illmatic It Was Written thing. He's clearly a better rapper on this album than he is on Damn. But the songs translate so much better on Damn. And I think that, yeah, a lot of that's due to it being a double album.
I'm going to quit with you a little bit on that. I don't know if he's necessarily a better rapper, but he's definitely a better writer.
Yeah.
His
songwriting at this point?
His songwriting. Hold on, how about this? Has a songwriter? I don't know. MC-wise, I still don't know if he's top 10 after this album. We're going to see how it plays out, the whole of it. But as a writer, he's, as a writer, Like, as a writer, I'll put him, like, in that Scarface, Nas, he's one of the 10 best writers that we've ever seen in hip-hop. I don't know how that translates sometimes to the emceeing on here, because this is still hip-hop. And so, like, you still need to check some boxes with some people, and this album doesn't do that, okay? That's what I mean is, like, you know what the standard is, and it's like, no, I know who you are, but nobody gets hall passes. You still got to check those hip-hop boxes. And so this album doesn't necessarily check those boxes sometimes on an MC level, the way Ransom and Method Man or Cole are doing right now. You get what I'm saying? But he's doing something totally different that's totally brilliant, and there's room for everybody on the stage.
All right, this is what I will say. I think in our 2022 yearbook, and yeah, if you don't have the 2020 yearbook or the 2021 yearbook, the link is in the description. You know, you can go to Amazon. Well, click the Amazon link. It'll be at your door. I think in our 2022 yearbook, some of these songs could be some of the best songs of the year. Whereas the album may not get those high marks over the Black Star album, per se. Maybe to even some, The Ransom. But I think that some of these songs could be some of the best hip-hop songs of the year. Do you not think that?
No, so that's why I have it in a very similar territory, I feel like, to Pusha T's album. Because what I heard in Brambleton and Let the Smoker Shine the Coop and I Pray for You with his brother with Malice was just like, oh, well, those are three of the best hip-hop songs I think I'm going to hear this year. But that doesn't make the whole of the album a classic. And so what I would tell you is that I think there are about three to maybe five songs on here off early listen that have kind of some of the same effect. But I don't know how some of this other stuff was going to hold, because some of this stuff, and there's too much stuff on here that I like and not enough that I love to give it higher ratings or to say that I think that it's necessarily like, I wish this would have been shorter because it would be better than the Black Star to me in that regard. I'll say that.
We want to get to all
the... Hold on, my Black Star note? Because here's what I was about to tell you. Hold on. I had a Black Star note in here. Hold on 1 second. I said, hold on. I said, Black Star isn't doing better with these black-ass themes than Kendrick Lamar in 2022.
Yo, we want to get to these super chats, even if we don't get to them in this actual show, because we don't have a whole lot of time. And I want, you know what I'm saying, Coop to get a lot of his notes out. We'll go back to the super chats after this show and, you know.
Get to the people. Get to the people. The people are important. And I tell you what, after you get to the people, I'll start kind of like at the top running through my notes song to song right quick.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Let me get to some of these. Miss LB says, this sounds more like a Def Poetry jam over not subpar beats. No replay value, in my opinion. Because it still is hip hop. LP says, he did some great stuff on this album, groundbreaking stuff as the album, as an album to listen to more than a few times. There are a lot. I'm not going back to. There's a lot I'm not going back to. Yeah, yeah. Miss B also says, oh, that's the same one. Let's see. It was another one, Ryan Gillum. Ryan Gillum says, how would you guys rank K-Dot's albums lyrically? That's an interesting question I've never been asked, actually.
I told you, I actually think Damn is his best lyrical performance.
He was on point in Damn.
Like, Damn is the guy that can walk around and say, I'm the best rapper alive. That's the guy that's on Damn. Like, the guy on Damn, it's like...
Yeah, I agree.
I feel niggas been out of pocket. It's like, no. When you start rapping like that, I feel like niggas been out of pocket with you too, fam.
Yeah. No, I agree. He did everything on Damn, guy. Actually.
That guy. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. When that guy is rapping, like that. So lyrically, MC-wise, I would say Damn. Songwriting-wise, To Pimp a Butterfly. In terms of feel and actual Mike timeless themes, well, Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah.
So he can hit you. He can hit you a few different ways. He's not arguably like in. Here's what I'll tell you. Here's what I know after this album. I'll say this. You can't reasonably have him outside of your top 15.
Oh, definitely.
No, he's top 10. I can't come up with a top 15 MC list all time for the writer that this guy is and his ability to express his writing and land. Even if he doesn't land all the time, when he lands, though.
Did he conquer the 5-year break? Are we going to forget about this 5-year break because of this album?
No, because I'm somewhere in the middle for that, because I don't know if this lands really with the average hip hop listener for today. If he was super connected on Good Kid, Mad City, To Pimp a Butterfly, and Damn on what today's listener was going through. He's not connected to today's listener, I don't think. And that's why I think he's saying I'm sorry on the last track, because I think he knows that. But this has happened. That's why I told you. This is why I keep talking about the 18th letter. It's like I'm talking about him in relationship to Rakim, because it's like, well, nobody, even if you're considered to be the greatest MC of all time, is about to take 5 years off in this rap shit and come back and reconnect. It moves too fast.
So what are you giving the album before we get up out of here?
Do we need to get up out of here like now?
Yeah, I mean, we can kind of go through the notes. I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's my birthday and all that stuff.
I know it's your birthday.
You tell pulling me a whole bunch of different ways.
You tell me how much time we have. I'm going to tell you what we're about to do.
10 minutes.
Okay, cool. Overall, I think right now I'm going to have to give it. Actually, I don't feel comfortable with some of these missteps and for what he's done before giving it a 4.5 because I'm not certain if it's better than Damn. I need to hear it some more. So I want to give it a 4.25 right now. But I have a feeling that I could either go up or down on that. But it's not going to go lower than a 4. It's at least a 4. No. People that are saying that it's trash, like don't do that. Real quick to the notes. United in Grief. I love the theme. The execution is not there. You could have kept that. I'm just being honest. You could have kept that. I'm being quick with the notes. We already went over N95. Worldwide Steppers. Mike, this is when he admitted, writer's block for 2 years. Nothing moves me. That's what I mean about losing connection and falling out of love. You and I have spoken to falling out of love. Mm-hmm. Die Hard has a different bounce. This is one of the songs that I feel like needs a visual aid. This is that groovy stuff that he likes. Every time you give him that groovy stuff, he does better, even though it's not as original as the previous three tracks. It's easier to digest. I believe that's intentional, which is why it needs a visual aid. He's singing and scatting on there. He needs to stop that and get Erykah Badu to do that. But it's easy to ride to. Father Time, I said, I don't know how to feel about the beat. I said, but everything else, well, I think you know. All right. He's closing all of these songs really strong, is what I said after Father Time. The Rich Interlude, I said, the bars are impressive. That sounds like Baby Keem. I said, did Baby Keem write this shit? I said, I don't know. Shaking my head, I feel some type of way. Next. Rich Spirit, that's why I made the Beauty of Contradiction thing. I had a problem. The vibe on this is kind of Vince Staples-ish on Ramona Park. It felt like one of Vince's tracks on Ramona Park. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what the modern West Coast vibe is. When I heard that, I was like, that sounds like something Vince would rock to. I was like, that must be what they're doing. Because I know they're not doing what Kendrick's doing on the West. They're probably doing what Vince is doing. You feel what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And well, he spoke about fasting, Mike. And for that, I'm just going to say, I practice the things unseen. And I don't know what he's practicing, but Muslims get to talk about how they fast, but Christians do not. That's why we practice the things unseen. And I'm just going to leave that right there. We can unpack that at a later show. Mm-hmm. We cry together. The beat is masterful, and so is the put together of it. But I asked him, and this is where I said, well, this is a play, but how many times am I about to replay this play in my car, even though this is brilliant?
Yeah.
Purple Heart, just the fact that he put Summer Walker and Ghostface together and tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said the production is better on the latter half of the first half. I said, this is not doing this pairing justice, but it's still groovy. Ghostface saved this song, and he provides a quality verse. I also put, before this album was over, something about this first album made me feel like Kendrick knows that he has you, like all of us, like at his whim. That's how I felt after listening to the first album. I immediately put, after I got done listening to the second album, he unravels on the second half of this album, the personal reflection. That's why I put soliloquy strung together in rap melody form. I'm like, because he unravels and gets super personal. Count Me Out is classic play stuff. It's like he says, I love it when you count me out 25 times. That's play stuff to be chanted. Fuck it up like 50 times. That's play stuff to be chanted. I'm like, well, that's not a hip hop song. That's a play song. That's where it's almost theatrical to a fault sometimes on here. I said, I hope he makes this a live tour, a hip hop musical. It's going to play better as a visual aid live. I think that's why he gave us the Heart 5, was to prepare us for visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Crown, I love I Can't Please Everybody. I said this was the best song arguably up until this point because it's the closest to a Pimp a Butterfly record that I heard in terms of the execution and conciseness of it, and you understanding exactly where he's coming from and why. I said Silent Hill is obviously a single. I said Stress is being mentioned a lot. I said the beat is coming through. I said this is Kendrick on his classic intro extrovert shit. I said it's very Miami 808-ish. I put ATL ho in parentheses. I've put Wheels of Steel down because I kind of felt like it had that same vibe. The Savior interlude, I said, is this Baby Keem again rapping some of Kendrick's lyrics? I said, no. We're not going there again. Get to the actual track. I like how he starts off bringing up J. Cole, Future, and LeBron, but leaves Drake out intentionally.
Yeah. Competitive. Yeah.
He's petty. I said, this is dope track with fair questions. When he talks about calamities on repeat, I think he's talking about his use of the word bitch. Calamities on repeat. No, he's telling you, bitch, are you happy for me? These are my calamities on repeat. Like, this is my iniquity right here. This is my problem. That's self-effacing. It's almost like he's talking to himself. When he's saying, Tupac dead, you got to think for yourself. He ain't talking to just us. He's talking to himself. That's his idol, too. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean about pieces of this album being therapeutic for him and cathartic. Auntie Diaries, I think we've already covered. It's masterful.
Yeah.
Five. Like, yeah, that's one of those things where, remember when Guru said, sometimes I do something that sounds better than the next man whole album? Auntie Diaries.
Yeah, check. That's one of them.
Right. Mother, I Must Be Sober. I'm sorry. Mr. Morale. I was like, here we go with this three stacks of Clemini, George Clinton shit again. I said, this is his comfort zone and his safe place. This is where he wants to be. I said, there are no new flows or new styles. I said, it's almost a Run the Jewels-like track. I said, it knocks beat-wise, but they don't play the beat enough. Play the beat more. I put my diamond. My diamond's the choker. It's heavy. It's like, I like the wordplay, but I don't quite know what he's expressing just yet. But I'm going to listen some more. Mother, I Sober. He talks about the ego dying, which is like a Christian thing. And that's where I mean about the beliefs are all over this place. It's like, well, talk about chakras. You talk about energy. Talk about fasting like a Muslim. You talk about your ego dying like a Christian. And so this is where I talk about the deification of him. It's like, well, like you said, Mike, he seems all over the place as a man. Well, we got proof to it. The album is proof that he's all over the place as a man. Well, you can't follow a man that's all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, just I'm saying that carefully and respectfully, you know, and also in jest, knowing who I am as well. Mother, I'm Sober. I said, this is a beautiful liberation type of vibe. Quim and I again. I said, once again, with the strong ending to keep interest before the scene changes. I said, the best verses on this album are pretty much the third verses.
Mm-hmm. They build.
On Mirror, I said, this is what he wants to do. The pressure's taking over me. Spare your feelings. Tell you the truth. Lately, I redirected my point of view. I choose me. I'm sorry. I said, this is a play, and he's in therapy in this play. When he says, faith in one man is a ship sinking, he's saying, I'm not your guy. Listen to what he says. Faith in one man is a ship sinking, as in, I am not your guy. He is saying it clear to you. I am not your guy. Jokes and gaslighting. Running away from the culture to find my heart, not your guy. And so this is what I put right after that. It's okay. He's falling out of love. It happens. It happened to me. And right under that, I said, this is why Rakim is the microphone fiend and Nas is God's son, because they keep wanting to rhyme and rhyme and rhyme and never run, because they love it in a way that he doesn't love it. And that's okay. But that's also why I have them number one and number two, respectively, and he is somewhere between 10 to 15 on a day like today.
Well, that's a great breakdown, and I hate that we gotta, you know, wrap this up. Happy but birthday, I'm man. Thinking Wednesday, though. I want to get to. I'm gonna write down a lot of these super chats that we weren't able to get to. I want to, you know, what I'm saying, discuss some of this. I appreciate that, and I want to listen to this album even more and really be able to break down, you know, some of those thoughts, because again, these are things that are super intricate, and he gave us a lot to really go on. I mean, it's been 5 years, so, you know, that I'm glad we do have a lot to go on. This is not a surface album, and I don't want to sit here and act like it's deeper than what it is, but he gave us a lot of dense information and a lot of dense context, and I think this is something we can explore even more on Wednesday, and I love the album. I'm going 4.5 off the top. I was thinking more 4.25, but I think that the highs are so high, and I think this is going to age so well. I'm cool with jumping out the window with a 4.5 just off of the incredible writing. The production, you know, obviously could have used some work in some places, but I feel like some of the places where he was less lyrical, the production was awesome. So
I am, you know, I'm actually, this is probably one of those few times where it's like, I think we're actually going to do the album more justice with it being Friday, even though I've had a lot of listens and you've had some listens too, with being able to listen to this some more, to digest it, to give it the appropriate rating. I think that and give it in the time frame, but I'm with you. Like I said, it's a 4.25 for me right now, with the ability to go up or down one. I would probably lean more towards going up one than down one, but even with that said, that wouldn't make it my album of the year. And I want to pose one question before we go. Hearing this album made me realize and feel like he's never really going to make any hip hop stuff with Dr. Dre, and I think that's kind of sad. There's a big piece of me that is almost like, man, I wish that you would have waited one more album to do this, or maybe even waited later this year to do this and hit us with like 10 tracks with you and Dre, because now I don't feel like he's ever going to go see the doctor. And I think it's one of those biggest what if moments in hip hop history that has nothing to do with somebody passing away.
I agree with you. I never thought they were going to make anything, but this right here, I think this is the nail in the coffin on that.
Yeah.
All right, well, y'all have a great weekend. I'm going to go enjoy the rest of this birthday, whatever's left of it. And take some shots for me out there, y'all. I appreciate all the love. I appreciate all the well wishes. We're going to see y'all Wednesday, and we're going to keep vibing to this album and give more breakdowns. And like I said, I'm gonna make sure we get to all of those super chats that we missed today and discuss those too.
Right.